This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, every so often here on the Paracast, we answer the critics. Now, I know one particular critic who actually posted a message in iTunes complaining that we dare to respond to critics. Now, I don't know about you, but where is it written that we can't answer to people who object to what we do and how we do it? What do you think, Chris? Should we not talk about the critics?
Well, I mean, come on. You know, if people want to complain or, you know, even have constructive criticism, I mean, I think it's beholden to us to respond to it and address that.
Of course, the common criticism is that we have too many commercials, but that applies to all commercial radio shows. You know, we have a fixed amount of commercials. It consumes about 25 or 26% of the content of the show. Same is true for all commercial talk shows in the United States. And as a matter of fact, for TV shows, which even offer more commercials. So your one-hour TV drama takes 43 minutes. Is there any other way to work it out? I suppose as TV and radio mature, as radio moves more and more online, we'll find better ways, but that's the way the system works now. We can't say we like all the commercials, but about 9 minutes of those commercials are our own. What that means is if you find an announcement for a product or service that we are advertising, we'd like you to consider it, because what that means is income to the show, or we get to sell some of our own stuff. So I don't think anything's wrong with that. There has been talk of a premium ad-free version. I can't say it's going to happen. I know other shows do it. But I have been talking to the network, and let's just say the door is not closed to the idea. But if you're saying that we break for commercials every 5 minutes and we have 6 minutes of commercials, that's exaggerated. There you go. I will not respond or ask Chris to respond to the problem where they attack his character or they say that he speaks with chewing tobacco in his mouth or something. Or is it a bagel? Is it a bagel? You know, if you're eating a bagel, it's hard to talk because bagels are so thick, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, what can I say? I'm, doing the best I can. I've never claimed to be a smooth professional broadcaster like you, Gene. I'm more of the color commentary kind of guy. And as long as you can hear what I'm saying, and understand, you know, the meaning behind my words, I don't think there should be any problems with that. If there are, I don't know, recommend a speech therapist or something.
You know, when I went to broadcasting school, which has got to be over 40 years ago, we had voice exercises where we would sit there and read aloud all sorts of tongue twisters and things. So imagine me sitting here doing absolutely nothing but reading classic tongue twisters. Like, she sells seashells down by the seashore. Susie's sister sewed socks for soldiers. That's why I keep this around, by the way. So if my tang gets tangled, I have an out.
Well, again, I think content is way more important than form. And that's why so many podcasts out there that may not have the production quality and production values and, you know, the trained voiceover personnel, but they have good guests. That's they become popular, and people listen to them because they're more interested in the guest and the content than they are in the delivery. Although I must say, Gene, you and I do have a reputation of being up to speed on the subjects that our guests are expert in or aspiring experts in. And you know, I've always taken it as my challenge to come up with something that challenges the guests and maybe gives them information that they didn't know beforehand. So, I mean, I always kind of look at that as my role of being as up to speed in these subject areas as possible.
You know, one other criticism they make is that we give our own opinions. Well, you know, this is not the kind of show where we just sit back and say, okay, tell me something. If we have an opinion, we will express it.
No.
Whether you agree with it or not. If you don't like it, well, there are other radio shows where the host will simply ask a few dumb questions, sit back, have a banana, and listen to the response. Or maybe listen to the response. It's like the classic joke you say about lame talk show hosts where someone says, okay, what did you do yesterday? And the guest says, well, I am a serial killer. I killed 12 people. And then the host says, do you have any hobbies?
Well, with the release of my new book, I've done quite a number of radio shows and podcasts over the last 2 months. And the ones that always get me are the ones that, you know, ask, could you send us like a list of a dozen or so questions that we can ask you? And it's like, you know, it's their job to be up to speed in the subject matter that, you know, their guests are involved with. And, you know, to me, that's just a lazy way of attempting to, you know, get information out to their listening audience. I you know, we never ask anybody to send us questions to ask our guests. I don't know.
Well, I know with one or two of our guests where they had major publicists, like they wrote a book for a large publishing company, you would get a press release where they would give suggested questions.
Yeah.
And I pride myself with never, ever reading them.
Yeah.
I ask my own questions for better or worse. Another criticism, that we constantly attack other talk show hosts. Now, I don't know about you. I think the worst we've said is some are lazy. But we don't name them. All right, we name George Norrie of Coast to Coast because that's the number one show. But we're not attacking George Norrie as a person. I gather he's a very nice guy. I'm sure Chris and I would sit back at our favorite Middle East restaurant and enjoy some kebab with him or something.
Yeah. No, George is he's a sweet guy. He really is. And he's quite a singer, too, from what I've heard.
Oh?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. If George sends us one of his songs, maybe we'll play it, as long as we have permission to air it, sure. Well, you can sing, Chris.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You're a musician and everything. You're a rock and roller. Excuse me, let me use the right voice. You're a rock and roller. They'll now get me for doing bad imitations. But let me say this. The one thing I could say about that is both the late Wolfman Jack, whose real name is Bob Smith, and Gene Steinberg were both born in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
But he made about 10,000 times more money than I did. Except I'm still here. He's gone.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's the criticisms. Now, I'm going to play this little recording, which Chris is aware of, where I respond to the criticisms.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Okay.
With apologies, ladies and gentlemen, to Stephanie Miller, a talk show host who featured and or created that sound effect. We've had such a run of great guests, it's almost impossible to top them from one week to the next, but we're going to do it. This week, we're going to feature Ted Rowe, and he's associated with an organization called the National Aviation Reporting Center on Anomalous Phenomena, or NARCAP. Now, some years back, we featured his associate there, Dr. Richard Haynes, their chief scientist. And this is an organization that is devoted to scientific exploration of what they call unidentified aerial phenomena. Now, that's their term for UFOs, and we're going to ask Ted to explain how that works out. We're going to talk about their best cases and maybe learn a bit more about what he thinks UAP may in fact be. This is going to be a tremendous show. We've been in touch with Ted for a number of years. Occasionally, he posts message in our forums at forum.theparacast.com. Our listeners have also been there asking some really interesting questions. And this also means that if you have a question, all you have to do is go to forum.theparacast.com, look for the board entitled The Question Bank, where we set up a topic or thread for an upcoming guest. There's going to be a lot of solid information here, not speculation, information. Our guest once again, coming up next, Ted Rowe of NARCAP with Gina and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
This week on the Paracast, we welcome Ted Rowe of NARCAP to the Paracast. Now, some years back, as our listeners recall, we had Dr. Richard Haynes, who Ted works with over at NARCAP, and he presented a lot of fascinating information. But for those listeners who haven't heard us present discussions about NARCAP or are not familiar with the organization, because you don't have a reality TV show based on NARCAP as you do with, like, MUFON. Ted, welcome to the show. Can you tell our listeners about the organization? How was it established and why?
Aloha, Gene, and hello to your listeners. Yes, we were established in 1999 after a number of conversations between Dr. Haynes and myself to address aviation safety factors that seem to crop up in some aviation-related UFO encounters. At the time, we felt that the term UFO was a bit limiting and inaccurate, so we adopted a term that's more common in the international research community, which would be unidentified aerial phenomena. The Chilean team uses anomalous aerial phenomena. French use rare atmospheric phenomena. So we tried to choose a term that was more accurate. And then we have subheadings, unidentified aerial phenomena / light, unidentified aerial phenomena / object or UFO. So
now, therefore, unidentified aerial phenomena is not specifically an equivalent of UFO.
Well, it's not specifically an equivalent of an alien spaceship. Let's put it that way. It remains unidentified after examination of adequate data by people who are qualified to make an analysis. So if you have enough information to identify it and it still remains unidentified by people who know what they're doing, then you have a UAP.
Okay, but you're not prepared to say that's ET.
Well, it's a very difficult line to walk there because some cases are clearly provocative, but we're always missing certain key information that would allow us to make that statement. If we didn't see it come from space or see it leave to space, then we can't be certain it came from space originally, for example. If you see something hovering over a tree that's unusual, sure, it's unusual. You document everything you can, but what you can't do is document what's going on inside it or where it came from, you know, what its intentions are, et cetera. So it's difficult in that way to make a definitive statement.
All right. This is a big discussion here because, as you know, a lot of the people in UFO field believe that UFOs are extraterrestrial. I always argue it's a process of elimination on their part. They say, well, it doesn't seem to be conventional, therefore it's got to come from out there. But you're taking a far more nuanced look at this thing, which to me, as a matter of fact, is probably closer to the viewpoint that we hear on the Paracast take.
Well, nuance is the key here. There are probably natural phenomena that account for some UAP reports, and until we can weed them out, learn what they are, give them a name, identify them, and move them away from the collective description of UAP, until we can weed it out and get down to the fine points, we can't be certain what it is we're looking at. Not all UAP, not all unidentified aerial phenomena are technical in nature, you know, or have technical attributes, let's put it that way. Some of them, there are some ideas around what's called extreme ball lightning, for example, which are large, slow-moving, bright balls of light with a whopping potential in them that could just evaporate an aircraft if it struck them. And they're not under intelligent control, and there's no reason to believe that they'll get out of the way if you see one in your path. And pilots aren't really advised that such things exist. And until we can sort those out from the larger data set, we can't be sure what all people are seeing out there, except in the most obvious cases and taking them at face value.
Let's focus further on the things you're doing. But just let me mention parenthetically here, APRO, which had a lot of ties to Latin American cases, they would call it unidentified aerial object as opposed to phenomena. And I guess the distinction being here is you're looking at all sorts of things that are not explained, but they can't quite be put in the category of an object.
Right. I mean, if you see a ball of light, you don't know if it's masking an object or if it's just a complete 360 energetic radiator with no mass in the middle of it. There's a lot of basic questions here. Earth lights, for example, it's a common manifestation to see orange balls of light. I've seen them myself at a site in the Southwest U.S. where they manifest. And pilots report orange balls of light at altitude. And are they the same phenomena? And how do we know? And can we be certain? And. You know, if you really want to understand what's going on here, you realize it is nuanced and it's going to take time. It's going to take time and a lot of work to resolve these cases.
So let me ask you here very briefly, and we'll get into this in more detail in our other segments. We have some people in the UFO field who not only maintain that UFOs must be ET, and I'm separating the term UFO from UAP because it's not the term they use. They say we're being visited by spaceships. Further, that the governments of Earth, particularly the U.S. government, have guilty knowledge of this, and therefore we should urge them to disclose what they know. Is that a cop-out?
Well, it's another track. I think that in 60 years of trying to persuade governments that are believed to be withholding information to talk about it, it hasn't been terribly successful. They put their cases out there, but if they've done any extracurricular work on it, we're not aware of it. I don't think it's a cop out really, but I think that they bring belief systems with them when they carry these ideas. And if they haven't adequately proved it, their assertions are hard on those of us who are actually doing the science. It hurts our credibility. When we go to try to talk to representatives of government, for example, and we want to convince them that we have research that indicates that we should be looking more closely at these phenomena, and others have come before with more airy-fairy kind of ideas, less credible ideas, we tend to get lumped in with them, no matter how careful we are, and it doesn't help us. So, I don't really know how effective these drives at government are in terms of making change on this subject. In my experience, most government officials are as ignorant on this subject as everybody else is.
Let's talk a little bit more about NARCAP and more about the history. It came together in 1999. How did you set things up? And more about how you do the things that you do, and also about maybe some of the most significant case histories you've accumulated, so we get a sense of the kind of evidence that you've looked at, and maybe also some of the stuff that didn't pass muster and why, and we'll get into that more as we progress with this week's episode. Our guest is Ted Rowe. The organization is NARCAP, and if you go to narcap.org, you'll find more about the organization and its mission. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Ted Rowe from NORCAP, and this is an organization that obviously has a heavily scientific bent. So let's start from the beginning there. We kind of went away from it, that you were founded in 1999. How did you set this up, and how do you continue your focus?
Well, I met Dr. Haynes kind of under interesting circumstances. I had had a UAP encounter of my own, actually. I was a lay person, and pretty familiar with the UFO community. I'd spent 10 years studying it, trying to make sense of things that I'd seen and experienced myself. And I ended up making a report to the NASA PR office at Ames Research Center, and Dr. Haynes got back to me. And in the course of going through that investigative process and sharing that information and learning a bit about UFO research, we came to be friends, and he eventually came to me with an idea he had for a international aviation reporting center. He had felt that a lot of aviation cases had aviation safety factors that were being overlooked by the aviation community, and that he thought that championing those ideas might help reveal a little bit of information about the UFO problem. And I agreed with him. It seemed to me one of the more relevant approaches. So we got to talking about how to get it set up. He had many contacts and friends of his own to man the research side of things. And I had plenty of experience in administration, so I sort of took over the image management and internal processes of the organization itself. And between us, we built it into about 55 more or less members. Technical specialists, research associates, international specialists, etc. In 2010, I started getting emails from Chilean Air Force generals, and the result of that was a written agreement of collaboration and research agreement with the Chilean government, and we've helped them on a number of cases since. Our contacts in France are strong, so our relationship with GPAN is pretty good, although it's not official. We're presenting at one of their closed symposiums here in a month. So our star just rose by sticking to the rules as far as science goes, just sticking to the basics of what we were trying to do and not extrapolating our data very far. That's not to say that some of these cases aren't provocative. There are, I think they need to be looked at all, they need to be looked at much more closely. And as far as the idea of extraterrestrial incursions, we can't rule it out. A careful look at the U.S. Air Force studies, the Battelle Institute Special Report 14 was pretty clear that what the Air Force was claiming outwardly and what their data was showing were two different things, and that some of these unidentifieds are very provocative and need to be resolved. So how you go about doing that, it's a big subject.
Yeah, and we obviously we want to get into that subject and also discuss some of the cases that you're working on with the Chilean officials. But, Ted, you kind of mentioned something there at the onset about your own personal experiences that helped kind of jumpstart your interest in this subject. Why don't you describe some of your own personal experiences that you've had with UAPs and give our listeners a sense of how you were motivated to get involved in such a, you know, an extensive manner.
Well, it's a personal story and kind of convoluted. I trended towards keeping it out of the media for the last 15 years, but I don't mind sharing it with you guys in general. Over the course of my life, I've been exposed to UAP of the kind that everybody is most concerned about, probably a dozen times for the most part, sometimes at very close quarters. I don't really understand why or what it's about, but it's provocative and it's disturbing. And in 1991, I believe it was 91, I was watching CNN, and General Wilfred de Brouwer from NATO command in Belgium was asking the world who these aircraft that his Air Force was chasing around the country belonged to with these unusual flight characteristics. And it kind of sparked my memories of the family seeing these things and having to deal with the fallout of it. We all kind of just smoothed it over and didn't talk about it, really. But it was more than one time, and I had several of them, and I'd just kind of forgotten about them. But that triggered something, and so I started reading and studying, and then next thing you know, I'm having a cluster of these experiences again, and I record them, and I end up, one of the people I'd been studying was Dr. Haynes, and out of the woodwork, here he comes, and we had a meeting in 2008, I believe it was in San Jose, and who was present but former Major General Wilfred de Brouwer. So it's been a very strange experience. The UAP that I've seen of the technical type involves spheres and disks and cylinders, and then I've been out in the desert and seen what are called earth lights and other types of poorly understood phenomena as well. So I've been exposed to all of it. I don't have any answers about any of it. Other than I listen very carefully when somebody says they've seen something. I know how strange it can be. you know.
Now, what you're telling us here is very, very general, that you had sightings of all sorts of things, cylinders, things like that in the sky. Can you give us more details on any particular case that just stands out? This is the most incredible one I have.
I can offer one for you. I was standing on my deck on drive in Arinda, California, which overlooks the freeway about a quarter mile below. And I caught some movement out of the corner of my eye, and I looked to my left, and I saw a black round sphere moving up the ridgeline towards the house. And it came to a stop about 50 feet in front of me, out in front of the over the deck. There was a guy down below mowing his lawn, and I yelled at him. He looked up, and I pointed at it. He looked at it too, and both stood there and watched it. And then it just kind of retreated away from me and then went over the opposite ridgeline and disappeared. Very close. No idea why. Like I said, maybe 12 times in my entire life. I'm 54 years old. It probably all adds up to maybe 10, 12 minutes of experience direct. and very, very few answers. And I'm not terribly satisfied with ufology's engagement of it. So I've tried to just hold to my own standards on this. I'm a hard point on the sphere in terms of listening to our reporters. I advocate for them, and I'm careful in doing it. That was one example. The one that got me in contact with Dr. Haynes was a bit more puzzling. It was a very close approach by a large cylindrical object that with very unusual attributes, and it parked itself in front of our car as we were driving down the road, less than its own length from our windshield, and that lasted for a bit. It was very uncomfortable, and for months afterwards, I wasn't able to explain it adequately, so I wrote a terse little note, little couple of sentences to the PR office at Ames Research Center, asking if anybody was interested in knowing anything about this. I wanted to talk to somebody. Dr. Haynes got back to me. We worked on it from there. Again, I have nothing but empathy for people who experience these things. I advise them all to be very careful with what they do with their minds around these things. The urge to think that you're special or different it can be overwhelming and may not be correct and may not serve you, you know. So there's a lot of considerations around all this. I just ask people not to hand their minds over to somebody else if they don't know the answer. Live with the I don't know. You know, be satisfied with that until you can get an answer that you can depend on. Don't just adopt them.
So don't just assume there's an answer and that someone else has the answer, because you might find yourself barking up the wrong tree. Ted Rose, Executive Director of NARCAP. This is Gene with Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Gene and Chris in the Paracast. We're talking to Ted Rowe, executive director of NARCAP, and we're focusing on his personal experiences. Briefly speaking, people will want to know, can you tell us, what's your day job?
Well, I along with NARCAP, I teach free diving here. I breath-hold diver teacher. I used to be I used to work in offices, project management type stuff on the main. Once the economy collapsed, I stepped over here to do that. I also teach martial arts and am preparing to a course for the local Soto Daifukuji Zen Temple here. So I'll be teaching out of that shortly.
So basically speaking here, let's not get on your bad side.
I try not to have a bad side. I'm pretty open to everybody. I'm not going to embrace what everybody thinks, but they can think what they want to.
Let me look at your sightings here. Now, the key about it here is that from what you tell me, this phenomena does show evidence of intelligent control, right?
There are profiles of UAP that seem to do that. They seem to be technical manifestations. I don't know whose, but they have technical qualities to them. And if you can describe their behaviors, you would try to apply attributes of intelligence, yes.
I'm thinking specifically of the things you saw.
Yeah. My personal experiences, I think some of those are technical manifestations. I think others, I'm not the jury's out on.
Okay, so having seen things that show evidence of intelligent control, unknown aerial phenomena showing intelligent control, obviously you have cases on file at NARCAP of things also indicating some sort of intelligent control. So it follows then, what sort of intelligence are we talking about?
Well, yes, that would be in the next round of questions, I suppose. There's a lot to be done in terms of just teasing these profiles apart and understanding them. One of the efforts we undertook at NARCAP was called Project Sphere, and it was a case study of UAP that present as spherical lights or objects. And so we took one category, one profile, and we examined it, and we examined the scope of these manifestations, how big they are, the altitudes they manifest at, whether they have dynamic trajectories or not. And so on, what we would call their behaviors per se. And that needs to be done for every profile of UAP, and it just hasn't been done yet. We need to do that for those that are reported as disc-shaped objects, those that are reported as cylinders, and so on. And we really need to, as you mentioned earlier, look at the nuance. And then we can come to some kind of conclusions in terms of just what it is we're looking at. The flip side of the problem, though, Gene, is the extraterrestrial hypothesis and the concern that if any one of these things is a manifestation of an extraterrestrial incursion. We as humanity cannot afford to be missing this if it's happening. It could be very toxic and very dangerous. It's an incursion until we can determine whether it's benign or benevolent or not. And as an incursion, it's a security risk. And I don't think humanity is at all prepared to deal with what that means or to even be able to detect it accurately or correctly. Everything science tells us at this point is that we live in a populated universe. And chances are very good that those that populate that universe are much older than we are and much more capable. So we need to have an open mind and open eyes, and we need to be looking at these phenomena carefully and making sure that we know what they are and what they're not. And making good judgment calls based on that information. And I just don't think the infrastructure is in place yet. I don't think that the powers that are focused properly as they should be on what this is and what it means. And that's assuming that there's no shadow government and you're not buying into the conspiracies.
You're not going that far as to suggest that there's a shadow government or some kind of black project that's aware of what's going on in terms of unidentified phenomena?
You know, there are certain clues in the history of the examination of the phenomena that cause us to suspect certain things. 1952, 53, and 54 were kind of watershed years where the government and the military went from a positive relationship with the general public around the subject to a dismissive and closed approach to the topic. And I'm not sure what was disclosed in those years. I do know that there were certain events that are that would be considered provocative. The manifestations over Washington, D.C. in 52, for example. But then we had the Robertson panel in 53.
I was just going to say the Robertson panel had a lot to do with the change.
Exactly. And academia has embraced those recommendations wholeheartedly. Whether that adds up to a shadow government or bad judgment or whatever it is, I don't know. There are probably other historians, Richard Dolan and others, that might have a better take on that. But just assuming that all is as it's been laid on the table, then I would say that Earth is not prepared. Earth could not protect itself from alien incursions. And the fallout that we face even from potentially benign incursions would be massive and difficult for the for our culture to manage. And I don't really think it's been well thought out by anybody, just what that means if we find ourselves detecting these ET incursions, as thousands of people tell us every year we're seeing.
Well, that brings something to mind that has always puzzled me, and that is the possibility of a sizable percentage of these unknowns could possibly be some sort of exotic earthbound technology that's being tested and possibly being made operational, that is then sighted by pilots, spotted by witnesses. And, you know, of course, the automatic assumption is that these are off-planet intelligences operating with impunity within our airspace. Have you guys seen in your database an increase in sighting events that may be these types of black projects, let's say exotic aerial technology?
It's probable that some of the profiles in our databases are representative of black projects of one kind or another. Whenever we think we might be looking at something like that, we withdraw from it. We have an obligation to respect the government, respect, you know, our security, and not dig into things that are easily or that the world shouldn't really know about. And we don't have a lot of cases like that. I mean, most of the cases that we see fit the Hynek standard of high strangeness. They fall into that general category. Like I said, if we thought we were dealing with anything that was national security oriented, we would drop it like a hot potato. We do have problems as drones and other types of aircraft are operating in U.S. airspace with reports that represent things that people hadn't seen before and are a challenge to us to weed out of the overall data. We recently did a study examining drone activity, and asking ourselves whether we could determine drones from UAP and how we might do that. So it's a concern.
Well, that raises a very big question here, which is the guilty knowledge on the part of the government. I mean, this stuff has been going on at least since 1947, 67 years, and possibly for many years before that. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to have to break in a little over a minute so we can start the answer here and pick it up in our next segment. And that is, do you have any suspicion of what sort of guilty knowledge the governments really have about what's going on?
Well, yes. To a point, I mean, the U.S. Air Force was founded in September of 1947 with early marching orders to acquire intelligence information on flying discs and so on, and that was based on a lot of information that had been acquired prior to that by the military. I think the phenomenon has been around all along. The reports increased as we fielded a global army of central reporting, and you see the bell curve go up in the mid-40s as we move out into the world. So to a point, I would say, yes, there is some guilty knowledge there. Somebody knows something or suspects something, but again, it's hard to tell how deep that goes. We've seen how incompetent government can be. So I have to wonder about how competent they would be with something so big.
So basically here, it may be they're so incompetent they couldn't even recognize the existence of something strange if it was staring at them in the face. I'll ask more questions about this, me and Chris. In our next segment, we have Ted Rowe of NARCAF with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Henry Ford once said, a man who stops advertising to save money is like a man who stops a clock to save time. Alex Castle here, the National Account Executive at GCN. I have the ability to customize a national radio campaign based on your budget while targeting your demographic. Contact me to find out how national radio can help your business be more profitable at 877-996-4327, extension 177. That's 877-996-4327, extension 177, and help me help you bring your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Americans have always been ready to defend, to serve, and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes four number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, ground beef, diced chicken, white rice, and two cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get one case for only $179, two cases for only $355, or get three cases for only $515, and all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.